Elliot Kim here on hand with Pete Pandy, a KUCR alum. Stopped by the station. Just wanted to snag a couple minutes for you. Thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
So can you just share with what you were just talking about? When were you here at KUCR and what did you do with your time?
Well, I started in 73 and I ended up at UCR for 5 years, but in the middle I was in overseas for a year. So I did 2 years, took a year off, and then two more years. I started as a freshman because a guy whose girlfriend lived in my hall in the dorm was doing a show from midnight to 2 a.m, called himself The Lone Ranger. This was Friday and Saturday nights, a guy named Rick Earhart. And I used to see him around the dorm, and I would sort of do this silly Tonto voice, hello, Kimosabi. And so he invited me to come on and be on his show and play a few tunes of my own. And then from that, we started doing some radio dramas, sort of Lone Ranger and Tonto, little mini plays that we recorded and got friends and people from the station to participate in, and did that for a couple years. And while I was hanging out at the station, I really didn't have an official capacity. But I happened to mention there was a pretty well-known political columnist was going to be on campus. And I said to Lewis or Jeff Schaefer, who was the station director, wow, that's pretty interesting. I'd like to be really interesting to hear him talk. They're like, oh, you would? So they like dragged me to hear this guy, James Reston, speaking on campus. It was a really cool atmosphere at the time and very lucky because the campus was very small. We had less than 6,000 students. So if you showed up at KUCR and showed interest in anything, they were like, oh, come and help us. So I'm not sure I would have gotten the opportunity today that I did then. But I started doing news and did some DJ work. And then my final year, I was news director. Very cool. And during that year, I came into the station one morning and there was a sign on the wall saying local radio KPRO was looking for a disc jockey, a weekend disc jockey. So I thought that would be fun. So I went down there and did an audition, and surprisingly, they hired me. And so I started working in the campus, doing maintenance work for the university, painting rooms basically in A&I, and doing weekend disc jockey work, and eventually got put on full time and spent 5 years in the radio business, mostly in news. So really the opportunity that I had at KUCR, plus the friends that I made and just the great things I got to do, were really a foundation for most of what's happened in my life. So it's really just an amazing, cool place. And to see it, you know, be so much bigger and more impactful today, bigger signal, bigger coverage area, but still have the heart of the student participation, to me is one of the great things about KUCR, because I know a lot of campus radio, it's much more run by professionals and students kind of get to come in and play around. But I know here it's still the students are really the soul of it. So it's very rewarding to see. And I was actually here when Lewis became the station manager, but I hadn't really kept in touch because there wasn't so much social media through the years. And about 8 years ago, I came here and came to the station with my two kids, walked into the station, and here's Lewis. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? Because at the time, the station manager was always a student position. I had no idea that, you know, he'd turned it into a lifelong gig. So to see him still here and making his imprint on the station and know that I was kind of there when he started is also really cool about it. So I could go on and on, but it was KUCR is phenomenal. The one thing that to me is wrong is when I was here it was 88.1. So 88.3 just doesn't sound right. I'm sorry.
That's an indication of the generation gap.
Yes. It's just like that's the wrong number. But
which, and it goes the other way for those of us who have always known it is 88.3.
I'm sure, yeah. And I was actually here when they moved the transmitter to the mountain. So we did get the advantage of having the larger coverage area. And legendary Bill Elledge was a great mentor to all of us. When I was trying to get a job in radio and I did a demo tape and I played it for him, and he's like, Pete, I think you need to sound a little more authoritative. I was like, oh, thanks, Bill. Back to the drawing board. But so he was, I kept in touch with him even after I started in commercial radio. And he was a great guy. I'm sure influenced obviously many people besides me, but even back then he was a legend. So,
And you're in town for the occasion of the station's 50th anniversary, 50 years and strong. And I pulled you in here to the production room so we could talk for the archives project, which we have thanks to Bill. So when he passed, everything related to the station in his possession, he willed back to the station.
Wow.
And that provides the basis for this archival historical project. I mean, all those images that we saw at the slideshow last night, you know, I'd say 98-99% of them were pictures that he took. For folks like myself who have heard a lot about Bill but never got the opportunity to meet him, what can you tell us about Bill as a person?
He just... Well, he was a strange guy. I mean, you wouldn't say he was, you know, your normal person. He pretty much lived, for whatever thing I could tell, for KUCR. And you could almost always find him here. He had, you know, strong technical ability, which, of course, none of us students did. But, you know, he knew how to keep the place on the air. And he just had this sort of cool, funky way of talking. And... I mean, I tell this story that as a 17, 18-year-old kid coming into school, may not sound as good as I would intend it to be, but he could interweave profanities in ways that I had never heard before. And it was just, we were just so awestruck by the way Bill could swear in creative ways, which now nobody would think anything of it, but at the time it was totally innovative. So that was one of the things about Bill that I always remember, how he could... You know, in his sort of funky way of saying things, just say naughty words in a funny way. Anyway, I won't say anything because I don't want you to have to bleep it out.
It's okay. I think we get a sense of it. So he could cuss like a sailor.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. He did. He was a great guy. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the fact that the station obviously has continued on without him, but I think having Lewis and Bill together. You know, if Bill hadn't been around for as long as he was, I'm not sure the station could have sustained what it is today. In other words, it needed Bill around for a longer part of his life to really cement the things that had been established to begin with. So I think that's why you find a lot of people still, you know, remembering and knowing how important he was.
To my understanding, we're still using a lot of the electrical engineering infrastructure that that Bill Farmer initially sort of laid down, and then Bill Ellidge maintained. And he was here until, to my understanding, more or less consistently from 1966 all the way to 2009.
Yeah, I mean, he was here. I don't remember a day coming in the station where Bill wasn't around. When I was here for 4 years, 1 year in the middle, I wasn't. But he just had a way of giving people good guidance. Like I said, for me, when I was working in commercial radio, even he'd sort of like, you know, maybe you need to approach this differently. But he was, you know, he was not the creative music guy. He was really more just the practical, I know I can't really describe it very well, but just had a good attitude about life, and you know, he could talk to you about anything, and if you get him going on politics, he'd talk about politics, and so he was always just entertaining to talk to and cared about people, I guess was the other thing. You know, because you could come in here, you know, you're a freshman, sophomore, young student, and he sees parades of them coming through, obviously, over a long period of time, but my feeling was he always cared about everybody individually, which, you know, for someone who's in a school like this, probably, you know, over time they kind of lose that. But from what I could tell, that was always part of his emphasis. One, it was on each person and caring about them while he had to care about the whole station and keeping it on the air.
He definitely left his imprint in that sense, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard him described by Lewis, actually, as a Google before there was Google.
Yes.
And Bob Murphy, I think, used that description of him as well.
Once. Yes, he was well-read, knew a lot of things, and, you know, if you needed an opinion on something or background on something, he knew a lot. So, yeah, great guy.
Really quickly, where did you work in commercial radio again? In what capacity did you serve after your time at KUCR?
Well, there's a station in Riverside called KPRO, and it was the music was what they called beautiful music or adult music, or some people call it elevator music. So it was kind of, you know, placid, happy, you know.
Like adult contemporary. So.
Yeah, not even that good. But they had a lot of news, a very strong news commitment. So even though I started as a disc jockey, pretty soon into the time I was there, I was brought into the news department there. And actually, because people got fired or quit, by 23, I was the news director there. And it was a time in the Inland Empire where the population was growing and there was a lot of things going on out here, but the LA regional media had not really picked up on the Inland Empire. So I was able to get exposure on LA radio by feeding stories of stuff that was happening out in Riverside, San Bernardino. And also a lot of politicians came through. So in my commercial time, I think we had an opportunity to get exposed to a lot of things statewide, even nationally, because, you know, politicians want people to vote for them. And there are a lot of people in this area, but there was really not a lot of media to reach them. So that station, KPRO, was really a cool place to be because the owner, my manager, a guy named Howard Fisher, was very committed to news as a key part of the station. We did 3-hour news block in the morning. That happened way before I started there. And then eventually we were doing half-hour updates throughout the day, an hour news in the midday, an hour news in the evening. And, you know, we had interviews with all kinds of politicians. I remember one of the most fun was we had Edmund Brown Sr., our current governor's dad, came to our station. And by that time, he had been governor, but he was, at that point, kind of a cute little old man, but kind of making Google eyes at the girls in the station. But, you know, a lot of things like that. So it was a lot of fun. Then I got a job in San Diego and had a 6-month lease on an apartment. But after 3 months, I got laid off, and that kind of ended my radio career. But it was a really important part of my life, and I think I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not had the great background that I had at KUCR. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure, Elliot. Yeah. My pleasure.
And again, just minded you were at KCNN in San Diego? Is
KCNN,
that right?
Yeah. It was a crazy kind of bad idea to take the audio feed of the CNN headline news from the television and put it on the radio. And so that was providing the national world news. And then we at the local staff at KCNN in San Diego would do the local news. So I was the local news anchor there in the afternoon, and I was also, my title was operations manager. But we had reporters, we had a guy doing traffic reports and all this. But the problem with it was I could wake up in the morning and tune in KCNN and hear a, you know, minute-long feature from the TV, and then in the afternoon the same thing would be airing. Well, in radio you've got to turn over your news, but in TV they didn't care. So from a radio formatting point of view, from a news point of view, it was not a good scenario. And so, yeah, when they were realizing that people weren't listening, that's what caused me my job. Eventually, I think it became a big band station, which ironically is what KPRO in Riverside became while I was there. We were doing news, but the music we were playing between the news was all old big band music, which was really fun for, I mean, it's a different story, not really related to KPR or KUCR, but a lot of my colleagues in the radio station, where we were all in our 20s, and we were learning about big band music, kind of like, you know, oh, the latest song that the program director put on, oh, it's a new Benny Goodman song that was recorded in 1935 or something. You know, it was kind of this weird, like, oh, cool new song, 40 years old, but we really enjoyed it, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, KCNN was bad. But it was fun, too, in San Diego because KCNN had been KGB-AM, and the big rock station in San Diego was KGB-FM. So we'd be doing this local news and this crazy, CNN TV stuff on the air. And meantime, on the other side of the glass is, like, the hot jock for, FM radio in San Diego. And so it was kind of an interesting mix. We were, like, mixed up with the big, we all got free passes to the Who concert at the Jack Murphy Stadium because we were like tied to the FM rock station in San Diego. So that was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Interesting life when I was there.
Some cool associated perks.
Yes, yes, very, very much so. Absolutely.
Really quickly, what was the most memorable concerts that you got to go to in that era?
Well, I wasn't there all that long. I'd say the Who was the most memorable. Yeah, it was great, and we had good seats, and you know, it was the Who. So what could you say?
That's awesome, and we will be posting. Thank you again for dropping off that tape, the copy of the production of the Lone Ranger.
Right?
Can you tell us a little bit about what that is? And that audio will be posted on the archives webpage for folks to check out.
Well, it started out as just a little snippet between the Lone Ranger and Tonto, kind of radio drama, and then from that we sort of wrote longer scripts. And I mean, just as I was thinking about what we did in the last couple of days, I'm remembering, oh yeah, we had this one bit that I completely forgot about. But we would write these scripts, and it was supposed to be, you know, the Lone Ranger and Tonto fighting crime. And then we actually created a radio station that was sort of in the area where they were. And so we did sort of a fake radio station stuff. Like, I don't even, people have to listen to it. But When I came here yesterday, I was telling my wife, I mean, if you listen to this tape now, you'd probably think it's just completely not funny. But one of my classmates who had a copy of the tape said he'd listen to it and it was funny. So I said, oh, well, you just made my day. So if somebody thought it was funny, that's a nice thing. But it was just a cool project that we did that kind of spun off of this Lone Ranger and Tonto thing that we were doing in the, you know, early morning on the radio, and had a lot of people come in and participate from the station at that time, including Jeff Schaefer, who was the station manager when I was first started, and a lot of folks and friends of mine who weren't even on the radio. We'd bring them over and say, okay, you're going to be the arch villain. And it was fun.
Very cool. I look forward to listening to it.
I hope you think it's funny. If you turn it off halfway through, I won't hold it against you.
Even regardless of my opinion, my professional interest in those things will hold me to
okay,
the end.
Okay.
And I have a feeling regardless I'll get a kick out of it.
Well, maybe it can inspire some current KUCR people to resurrect radio drama, funny or serious, and add a new touch to the station programming you have today.
Yeah. Yours truly is actually guilty of committing that offense once or twice.
Really?
Good. It was short lived. It was about, I think we did about 7-8 episodes, but we did a thing called the Real Fake News,
and uh-huh.
it was a parody news program, and we would impersonate various characters and have various little themes, and so we that has happened.
Good.
But hopefully, yeah, like you said, hearing yours and Rick Earhart's production of the Lone Ranger and their misadventures will help inspire future generations as well.
I hope so. I'm not counting on it, but it would be great.
Either way, we're putting it up there.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts, Pete?
Just really appreciate the opportunity to sit in and talk to you, and hope some of what I shared is interesting for folks. I mean, obviously, it's a big deal for me, or I wouldn't be here. And just to talk at KUCR again is a super thrill.
Awesome.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you. Thanks for your time, and hope to see you here again soon.
Hope so, too.